Christmas Platter is proud to partner with one of our favorite companies, Shady Rays, over at ShadyRays.com. Shady Rays has been the only sunglasses I've used for years now. A lot of you guys know I carry mail for a living, so through the rain, snow, the wind, sleet, sun, you name it, I've carried through it. And even through vacations in the Rockies and on the beach, I've always had my Shady Rays with me. I'm very particular about my sunglasses and love my Shady Rays. They fit great, they're durable, and they're reasonably priced. On top of that, they have a great lifetime warranty that you really need to check out, and it is as good as they say it is. But more importantly, if you buy a pair of sunglasses, that also buys 20 meals for the hungry through Feeding America, which I just love it when companies are have a conscience and have a charitable aspect to them. And you, as a Christmas Clatter listener, go over to ShadyRays.com, use promo code XmasClatter in checkout to receive 25% off and pick up a great pair of sunglasses for you or a gift for someone you love. ShadyRays.com, promo code XmasClatter for 25% off. Shady Rays, now the official sunglasses of Christmas. Welcome to Christmas Clatter, the podcast that celebrates everything that makes Christmas special. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at Christmas Clatter Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Clatter Podcast. Email us at ChristmasClatterPodcast@gmail.com or visit our website at ChristmasClatterPodcast.com. Hi, welcome again to Christmas Clatter. I'm Todd Killian. Well, we've got another week in the books heading on to Christmas. Another episode for you guys this week. It's been a treat getting out these weekly episodes and have had a lot of good response to them. We have plenty more episodes planned to get us through till Christmas. And I want to remind the ones that joined the Christmas Clatter Christmas Puzzle Exchange that those puzzles are due in the mail on Saturday, the 31st, on Halloween. So if you have not gotten those out in the mail yet, please be vigilant and get those on their way. Also, I'd like to announce that on Friday, we will have a Halloween bonus episode of Christmas Clatter. A few months back, I put to a vote two Halloween movies that I have never seen. One was Hocus Pocus, the other, The Nightmare Before Christmas. And you guys voted, and Hocus Pocus won that poll. So I review Hocus Pocus on Friday, and I am joined by Anthony from Tis the Podcast to go over our thoughts and feelings of that movie. So please join us for this Hocus Pocus Halloween edition of Christmas Clatter, and that will be on Friday, October 30th. And speaking of Tis the Podcast, joining me for a Christmas conversation this week is Julia. Had Anthony on back in January for a Christmas conversation. Then Tom joined us in June. So now it's Julia's turn. So I hope you enjoy this Christmas conversation with Miss Julia. All right, making her Christmas Clatter debut is Julia from Tis the Podcast. Seems like she's the consensus favorite elf around, but maybe after this interview that might change. She might be the worst. Who knows? Thanks for joining me, Julia.
Hey, Todd. It's so good to be here.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out of a busy fall schedule. I'm sure you guys are, even with the COVID and stuff, things are kind of ramping up and the schedule's still yet. So.
Yeah, holidays don't care, do they? Yeah,
they don't care.
They don't care what's going on. Stuff gets busy, and it is starting for sure. Yeah.
I'm kind of glad. It's kind of a nice change of pace to be planning for something instead of just sitting around waiting for something to happen. So,
absolutely.
It's a nice change of pace. I want to start off with the same question I asked Anthony back in January. I can't believe It's been since January since I had him on, and Tom in June, which just seems like forever ago, but doesn't feel like that. So from your perspective, what is the origin story of Tis the Podcast?
Well, I want to preface this by saying Anthony and Tom both told me, do not listen to our episodes because it needs to be like pure going in, right? Uh-huh. So we get true origin stories from three. So I don't know what they said. I have some idea, but I don't really know what they said. So I was the last person to the game in the story. So up until the point where I joined, it's a bit conjecture, but I'm still going to cover it. I'm sure it's true. So I heard on Facebook one day, because Tom and I have been friends for a while. His wife is amazing, and they're just this amazing couple in Tulsa. And I have participated in a few of their handmade shows here in Tulsa. So Tom and I met through that whole handmade circle. And so we're friends on Facebook, and he posts on Facebook, hey, anybody want to be on a Christmas podcast? And I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds like fun. I would totally do that. So I just commented, yeah, let's do this thing. And so that led to Tom being like, are you for real? And I'm like, yeah, I'm for real. It sounds like a lot of fun. And so we talked on the phone, and we got Anthony on the phone, and this maybe like a week later, maybe less than a week later. I did not know Anthony. Tom had filled me in, met this guy on Reddit. I was not on Reddit at the time. Met this guy on Reddit. He wanted to start a Christmas podcast where we cover movies, and we needed/wanted another person, right? More than just two people. And so that was the background I got, was Tom knew Anthony first. And then, so we got on a phone call one night, and it was, I don't know, when you talk to somebody on the phone, you don't know them, right?
Right.
I was like really nervous about it, because I don't meet new people very easily. This doesn't come naturally to me. So I was fully prepared for it to be really awkward. And honestly, part of me, like, I don't really think this is probably going to work out, but it's like super exciting to think about the idea. Yeah. So we get on the phone, and it was like, we gelled like right away. Like, it was easy. It's kind of like talking to you has always just been effortless. You're a very easy person to talk to.
Well, thank you.
Anthony was like that. And so we chatted a little bit about Christmas, and there was like, I feel like the thing that sealed the deal, and I sort of felt like I was in an interview a little bit, is what's your favorite Christmas movie? Right.
Yep.
And this was August. I think the phone call might've been August. I know our first recording was in August. And so, you know, you've really got to like a Christmas movie to be thinking about it still in August, right? Because you're not in the middle of the season. It's not fresh. And I was like, Elf. Elf's my favorite Christmas movie. I just really love it. And Tom said Elf was his favorite. And Anthony said Elf was his favorite. So we knew. It was kind of kismet right away. And so we chatted a little bit longer, and we made a rough plan to cover our favorite Christmas movie for the first episode of Tis the Podcast. That's what we did. And I remember that first episode being the awkwardness I think I was expecting in the phone call, right? Because it's weird when you're on the phone and knowing you're recording, and it's odd. But now it's just their family now. So it's great. It's a little mini family aside from all the other mini families I have.
Yeah, so it definitely is. We're talking with Anthony and Tom earlier in the year. It didn't take you guys long to really hit a good stride, I don't know, 5-6 episodes deep. It seems like almost soon as you guys learned that y'all liked Harry Potter so much, it was off to off to the races after that.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a good point. We found something to bond us more than just Elf and Christmas, right?
Right, right.
And that's when, I'm pretty sure if you time it and you go back to those episodes, that's probably when Anthony and Tom got comfortable enough to start throwing snark at each other as well.
Right, right. And so, they started doing that with each other, and then you were caught there in the middle, and then a form, I hate to say formula, but a pattern of podcasting developed where, sure. you know, and the one thing I told both of them as well is the thing I really like about Tis the Podcast is when there's a movie on there, I never know which one of the three I'm going to agree with on that movie.
Yeah.
You know, because after you follow like critics for a while, you kind of get a feel of what they like and don't like. But mm-hmm. but you guys cover the movie in such a different way that it's like, well, you know, there's movies I disagree with all of you on and agree with all mm-hmm. you on, but I can't pin down which ones are going to be which.
Yeah.
You know, I could have swore Anthony would be an Arthur Christmas fan. Could have swore, you know, but
right. He's not, I thought he would too.
Right. Right. But shameful. He doesn't. And not everybody's perfect. So we'll just leave it at that.
That's right. That's
and we'll have right. this, we'll have this Arthur Christmas thing for the rest of our lives, I guess.
funny.
But that's one of the joys about Tis the Podcast is you just never know. And this year's been a great year for you guys. You know, I mean, the pandemic's a terrible thing, but you guys have been able to cover a lot of stuff and a lot of different stuff and kind of been a little weak in the Christmas movies because Christmas movies go.
Save them.
Yeah. Christmas movies go about 15 movies deep, and then there's this big cliff that just falls into an abyss. And and once you get there, it's hard to find any kind of gems. Is there a particular movie that you've seen that you didn't really think you'd like, but you end up loving more than you thought?
There've been a few, honestly. So the first one I remember was like really not thinking I would like it and ending up very, very much liking it. Cause there've been a lot where I didn't know anything about it and sure it looks okay. And I end up really liking it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like Mrs. Claus, mm-hmm. Or what is it called with Angela Lansbury? Mrs. Santa Claus, maybe.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name. Loved that one. But the first surprise to me was Krampus. We covered that one. I mean, it's been a minute. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a huge horror fan. Yeah. And I remember seeing the previews for that one and just being like, oh, it's because they all feel the same to me at a certain mm-hmm. point. That one was a fantastic surprise, not just right. because the movie ended up being really good and the production value was great and the story was awesome, but that thing is highly Christmassy. Like there is a ton of atmosphere in that movie. And I think that's what surprised me so much. So that's the first one I can think of. I know there have been others. And I'm surprised too by ones that we cover that end up not being Christmas movies, but that mm-hmm. I do actually really enjoy also just as a movie. Mm-hmm. And I think honestly, Anthony's probably responsible for a lot of those movies. I feel like he's probably seen he brings more movies to the table than any of us do. Mm-hmm. As far as the things we've never heard of. And so he's definitely responsible for some major gems in my canon and then not in my canon as well.
Yeah. Krampus is one on my list I got to get seen. I still haven't seen that one yet. So
yeah. You should see that. It's good.
Anna and the Apocalypse is another one I have to see. You guys keep talking about a lot.
Another one. That one was a major dark horse. That one was really good. Again, that's an Anthony also.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I like zombie stuff, but for some reason I pass by it. And then every time I have time to watch a movie, it doesn't seem to be at the forefront of my mind. I guess I need to make a list or something to.
Yeah. To keep
you do need a list. Seems like every time I get a few minutes to watch TV, I just turn on The Office because it's so,
you know. It's overwhelming when you look at all of the things. I've joked with Marty about that. I'm mm-hmm. like, I spend more time scrolling for something to watch just to end like you, The Office or Parks and Rec or Friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I just blew like 5 episodes worth of scrolling to find something
And I usually don't have enough. I'm not one of these people that can watch a movie in segments. I know I got a friend that can watch like 30 minutes and then like a few days later, watch the next 45 and then finish it up on, you know, I can't do that. It's like, if I'm going to start a movie, I'm going to finish it no matter what. And so I always look at the time and what I got coming up. And if I don't have enough time to finish it, I don't start it. And
yeah.
But I'll get them watched. I'll get some time coming up here and closer to Halloween. They'll probably be a good fit for.
It's a great fit for both.
For both, because mm-hmm. we're pulling out our decorations this weekend, and we're putting them up. It's time.
Christmas decorations, right? Yes,
Christmas decorations.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you decorate for Halloween at all?
The kids carve pumpkins and we put them on the porch, and Holly found this like a 4-foot inflatable jack-o'-lantern thing at the store for like $15 or something, real cheap.
Yeah.
And she bought that, and that's been out there, but other than that, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, in fact, we have a little side table upstairs, and it's got all the Christmas decorations we bought for this year just stacked on it, because I was like, I'm not taking these to the basement just to get them out.
Just to get them back out again, exactly.
So, in fact, there's a tree standing up next to it that I bought because we're putting out a new tree this year, a nutcracker tree, and I wanted to put it together and see how big it was and see where it's going to fit at. And I'm like, I'm not taking it back down just to get it out in a few more weeks. And then we got a new main tree for our living room this year, and it came in, and I'm like, I'm not dragging this thing down. So there's this big Christmas tree box in our, we never use our front door. Everybody goes through the garage. So it's sitting there like right in front of the front door. So, so it's like, I was talking to Holly the other day. I'm like, when are we going to decorate? Cause I usually take off a day or two of work to do it, and that way it all gets done. And I'm like, when I get home Saturday from work, I said, I'll drag everything up from the basement. That way we can get up bright and early Sunday and get it all done. We might be able to get all knocked down in one day, but if not, we'll finish it up through the week.
Yeah.
But it's just time. We're just itching to, and
we need it this year.
Yeah. And my mom's fully decorated inside her house now. And it's
she is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She has been for about a month now. So, so you go over there and it's like, man, we need to do this and get ours done. So,
yeah. So exciting.
Yes. It is. I'm ready. It just felt like it was time. Normally I try to wait till after Halloween, but I'll wait to put the lights on outside the house till after Halloween.
We do the same thing. We're like, we're going to let it fly in the house. We'll be conservative on the outside of the house, but inside it's our space.
Yeah. My rule of thumb is Veterans Day, the 11th of November, is my deadline for getting the outside stuff up and on. And so probably the week after I'll get the ladder out. We never do a lot outside. Mm-hmm. Just kind of do some lights around the gutters, and we got a big 9-foot inflatable Santa Claus and some other lights and stuff, but it's nothing that real spectacular, but it's still nice to come home with the house all lit up. So
I love it.
Yes.
So Veterans Day is a Wednesday this year.
Yes.
So does that mean you'll be off? I guess you'll be off on the Wednesday, banks. So I work at a bank, post office, same kind of idea. Okay.
Yep. We'll be off on Wednesday, and then we'll definitely pay for it the day after, because the day
it
after
all stacks up, right?
Yes. And the day after Veterans Day is at that sweet spot where holiday mail's coming through and nobody's off, but basically banks and government, and so it piles up.
Well, I feel for you guys. I mean, all year long, because I mean, we can't do what we do without our favorite postal workers.
Well,
so
even this year, usually there's this little bit of a drop off after Christmas, but this year there really wasn't that, because last Christmas Amazon did it was $2 or $3 billion in gift card sales or something ridiculous. So then everybody, spending those.
Yeah.
And then the shelters in place and the pandemic hit. So then everybody was ordering everything anyway. So this year has been a parcel heavy year, even in the times when it shouldn't have been. So.
Right. It's just not let up, has it?
No, it hasn't. And they're expecting like a 66% increase this year for Christmas than over
that's
last year's.
Insane.
Yeah. So
wow.
Keeps my lights on. So
Yeah. Yeah. It is job security.
Yeah. So, I don't mind. I actually really like doing what I do, you know, as far as delivering the mail. Now, dealing with the bureaucracy of the Postal Service, different issue. But as far as what I do, going in and delivering, I like that quite a bit. But.
Yeah. Politics just needs to stay out of good old stuff like the post office. Come on, guys.
That it does. It's like we can I tell people what goes on at work and they're like, seriously, that doesn't really happen. And I'm like, yeah, it does happen.
I will say one of my starts of the season moments is when I see the holiday stamps.
Oh, yeah.
Every year. And they make me just so happy because I buy them for Christmas cards and I try, and then I hoard them afterwards.
Oh yeah.
Because once Christmas ends, I don't like using them because I want to save them. So every time I see the new ones, I get just really excited. It's such a warm feeling.
Yeah, it is. In the spring, I got on and bought the Christmas ones from last year because they were still available online. And so I bought some just to have some extras, just the Santa Claus ones.
Santa Claus ones are my favorite.
Yes. And I got them in the mail and it was like, I just kind of like put them on the desk where I could see them, you know, and it's like, I really don't know if I want to use them or not, but.
Right.
You know,
right.
But, I bought some Christmas cards the other day for this year, getting that ready. Hallmark had their buy one, get one free on boxes of Christmas cards. So I did that so we can.
I missed that, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, I about did. I got an email on it, but it went to like my promotions inbox, so I didn't see it right away. And then I was kind of cleaning it. I'm one of them that guy clean everything up every day or a couple times a day. I don't like the little circle icon on there.
Oh, I hate that badge notification.
Yes, I hate that thing. Yep. So I'm always like cleaning it up and taking it off there. And I saw it, and it's like the last day of it. So I'm like, hopefully they got something good left. So. They did. They did have some good stuff left.
But, that's good.
I was talking to Glenn from Seasons Eatings, and he joined in some like Christmas card exchanges and stuff. And he's like,
"Yeah,
I forgot." He's like sending out like 100 cards or something this year to like people. And then he says he's got this tradition where he gets on Google Maps and finds like a random address and just mails that person a card.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm totally stealing that, Glenn. I'm going to try that. And he's like, yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
He's like, last year, he gets on like Google World. Or like last year, he sent one to somebody in Iceland.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's totally fun. Yeah. That's a great idea.
I think I'm going to try the States first, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm totally stealing that. Just send somebody a card because you can kind of get on there and find the addresses fairly easy, so.
Yeah.
Just hope it's not a vacant house or anything like that.
But
I'm totally stealing that idea.
Yeah, I like that. Spreading that random Christmas cheer. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. Well, I asked you about the movies you liked. How about movies you didn't like that you thought maybe you would care for or you thought, oh, this is a shoe-in. This would definitely be something I liked. But then when she watched it, it was like, no, not so much.
Well, so I can thank Anthony for this one as well. So he brought up a movie that Tom and I both had visceral reactions to. It was Better Watch Out. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a horror theme also, but not as heavy-handed. It was really, it's marketed more as suspense. And I love suspense, right? Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, the premise looked good. It was a little more modern. It looked very Christmassy. And boy, I hated that movie. Like really, really hated it. I'm pretty sure I ranked it a zero, which puts it even with Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, which is kind of our lowest bar movie, I think we've ranked. And that one was surprising. And you know, have you ever watched something when you're like, I really don't like this and I can't express really all of the reasons I don't like it. It just makes me feel anger, you know, just very confusing feelings. So that was the most recent one that's happened to. And then there've been the ones that, you know, don't hold up over time. Mm-hmm. That's kind of sad.
It is sad.
Which doesn't seem to affect me as much as it has affected Anthony and Tom with the Rankin Bass specials specifically. Mm-hmm.
Well, those are unusually bizarre, though.
They are. Mm-hmm. It's not my bag. Mm-hmm. I'm the one on the podcast that's just like, these are a little weird. But I didn't grow up with them, so that's fine. But there have been some surprises. I know one thing that we don't agree on is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Which I quite love, but to me, it's not a Christmas movie.
Well, most definitely is a Christmas movie.
Well, here's the thing. So when I watched it, I was fully expecting to change my mind on that, right? Thinking I'm on a Christmas podcast, I'm watching it with Christmas in mind, which I just never did in the past because my mom never thought it was a Christmas movie either. And I didn't flip on it. And I really thought I was going to.
Right.
So,
well, I traditionally have a low bar for what constitutes a Christmas movie. Anyway, you know, if it has Christmas in it anywhere, it's going to be a Christmas movie.
Like Lethal Weapon.
Right. Like Lethal Weapon. Or even the... I was on the Halloween special you guys did for your Patreon, and Lori's daughter in that movie wears a Christmas sweater through the whole thing.
I make it a Christmas movie.
That's what I told Anthony. I said, I think it might be a Christmas movie because she wears a Christmas sweater through the whole movie. And he said he was going to try to get that past you and Tom to see if he can cover it for the podcast or not.
Oh, I love it.
But he didn't think that was going to be a good enough Christmas to, you know, to make it. To make it cross the line there, but it's like, well, you know, I got to be true to my word. But did you listen?
You know, that suits you, though. I have to say, we joke a lot about how you're not Father Christmas, but you're like, I like to call you Brother Christmas because you're in the same family. And so I love thinking about you sitting there just saying, if it's got any Christmas element in it, I am game, because that elevates the status, right? I mean, automatically. That makes it better because it's Christmas. So I cannot argue with that. Not even. And I never would I argue with that reasoning.
Well, see, there's a new movie coming out, or it might be out on, you know, that premium video on demand thing they're doing, that Robert De Niro movie, At War with Grandpa.
Yeah.
And apparently the little girl in that movie has a birthday party, and she has a Christmas-themed birthday party.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And... so, but it's not Christmas time, you know, it's not in December or anything, but I guess she just was, so I'm like, that might be a Christmas movie. That might be a
Christmas movie.
You know, I haven't seen it yet, but the previews look pretty good in it.
So the story behind that movie is pretty cool. But have you heard the story behind it?
I haven't.
So it's a kid that wrote it, or he read the book. And he loved the book. And so he decided to write the screenplay. And his parents are both in the movie industry in some way. And so they helped him kind of along the way and ended up having some connection with Robert De Niro because he had initially said, I think Robert De Niro needs to be there. And they're like, that's shooting high, honey.
Yeah.
You know, you're like in eighth grade. And it ended up all working out. And so
I was going to say, they must did something right to get him and Christopher Walken's in it. And
I know, right?
Cheech Marin. And, you know, it's like this row of guys that are kind of in the twilight of their careers, you know, coming back to get, I guess, one more good laugh in or something. But I can't wait to see it. We saw the previews. We went to see Hocus Pocus here a few weeks ago at the theater, and they played the preview for it, we were rolling. So I hope it's not all the fun and games is all in the preview. So
me too. I hate it when that happens.
Me too. I'll get to where I don't want to watch those trailers much anymore, or I'll just watch one of the trailers and then be okay, that's enough. You know, so. Sometimes they make those trailers and you can tell right away they just give the whole movie away. It's like, what are you guys doing? You know, what are you guys doing? Have you had a chance to listen to the Merry Melee here last week?
I haven't yet listened to it. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot of chatter on that, though, I'll tell you. On our there is,
because I was going to tell you that one of the questions in that is, you know, what's the quintessential Christmas movie? And Tim Babbs argues It's a Wonderful Life. And he makes a pretty strong argument you might want to check out. I can't recap it all here, but
I will definitely check that out.
Yeah.
I mean, his opinion means a lot. So I'm not beyond changing my mind, of course. I mean, you kind of did that on Lethal Weapon for me, right? Remember at the end, you totally sold me on that because family was so important, especially a guy with no family having family. So I am totally game to have my mind changed.
Right. With Lethal Weapon, if they would have took about 10 more minutes and added a little bit more Christmas music and a little bit more Christmas decoration, it would have been undoubtedly a Christmas movie.
I agree.
Yeah, but there was just so little of that, but I guess you don't want, you know, Christmas time in the mean streets of Los Angeles. But it was pretty close. But like I said, the bar is pretty low for me, and I understand that. But listen to the Tis the Podcast, and you guys, we discuss what's a Christmas movie and what's not a Christmas movie, and I'm like, I need to set a standard, for myself on what. And I was just like, hey, if it's got Christmas in it, I'm taking it. I'm just gonna take it, So
that's a harder line than our Linus Moment standard at times. Let me just tell you, because there are moments when we're like, it's a stretch, but
So. Well, I guess any movie has a resolution where one of the characters changes for the better, or most movies are like that. So, even if it's not a Christmas movie, it probably tend to have a Linus moment, like you were talking about, thrillers and suspense and not liking horror. And that's kind of right down my alley. I like the suspense and the thrill, but I'm not big on the horror part. So one of my favorite movies along those ways is Signs, came out. Early
2000s. I love that movie.
I do too. And that movie's got a big Linus moment. Doesn't have any Christmas in it, but it's got a big Linus moment.
It sure does.
At the end. So.
Oh man, I love that movie. Yes. That's one of those movies that if it's on television, I can't turn it off.
Yeah.
And I'm the same as you, that if I start a movie, or if I at any point where I pick a movie up, right, because I'll catch movies in the middle, I want to finish. Yes. Right. I don't want to step away from it. I love that movie.
I do too. So it's one of those movies that every time I watch it, I see something different or catch something in the dialogue. And it's like, there's so much interwoven in there, and they have like 15 different small storylines that all come together at the end. And it's like,
I know, I love it. I love stories like that.
I don't know. It's really cool. And that's the thrill and suspense I like, where it's more, they don't really show you what's going on, but it's that build up. It's more of that Hitchcock kind of thrill and suspense that I really enjoy. And a recent movie that kind of did the same thing that I really like is A Quiet Place. And
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh,
that's on my list of haven't watched yet, but really need to. Yes. Everybody else in my house has seen it. I haven't seen it yet.
I would definitely see it. No. Now, the sequel got delayed because of the pandemic and stuff, but definitely see it. It's really well done. It's going to sound silly because there's not much dialogue in it, but it's really well written.
Yeah.
You definitely need to see that as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll like it.
In a quiet set. I think the first review I read was, this is not the movie to bring your bag of M&Ms.
No.
I was like, oh.
I went to the theater to see it, and I found myself like quietly sticking the popcorn in my mouth and just like chewing.
Right.
Yeah, because everything's so quiet that it just kind of makes you want to be quiet too.
Right.
And so when there's noise, it's a real panic situation.
Yeah.
So it's
okay. Well, I'll move that to the top of my list at your suggestion.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Move it. And then when you see it, let me know what you thought. Send me a message or something. Let me know what you thought of it. But I'm about 99.9% sure you'll like it.
I'm about that sure I'll like it too, just based on the cast.
Yeah. Yeah. So. The cast is great. John Krasinski's fantastic. Emily Blunt's fantastic too. In fact, I have a unpopular opinion about Emily Blunt. I liked her better as Mary Poppins.
Oh, better? Really?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I can see why that would be unpopular. I also have not seen the remake. I'm a little reticent to see it, honestly. Like, it has a lot it's got her in it and I love her and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yes, please. All day long.
Yeah.
But I'm still kind of worried because I love Mary Poppins.
Oh yeah. We love Mary Poppins too. I liked Emily Blunt as Mary Poppins a lot. And I like Lin-Manuel Miranda's character a lot. And I like the story pretty good, but not as much as the first one. But the thing that where it lacks is the music. The music isn't quite as memorable, which the original Mary Poppins, the music's so good, it's going to be hard to live up to that. But right. I think what they should have done is kind of reuse some of the melodies and music from the song from the first one and kind of incorporate it a little bit more instead of doing. And they may have, I've only seen it once or twice, and they may have, and I just haven't heard it yet. But I think that if they, there's a few times when you see the kite and they play, you know, the fly kite or a little bit of it. But it's like, if they could have kind of incorporated a little bit more, it would have been, I think it would have helped out a lot. I don't like it as well as the original Mary Poppins, but I really like Emily Blunt as Mary Poppins quite a bit.
As Mary Poppins.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
I'll have to move that to the top of my list also.
Yeah.
All of these you're saying have been lingering for some time. I need to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was about thrown off Facebook when I posted that after seeing it.
Oh.
And, I really liked her as Mary Poppins. We like Mary Poppins around here quite a bit. And did you ever see Saving Mr. Banks?
Yes.
Yes.
I liked that one a lot as too.
Yeah.
Anything about Poppins or Poppins herself, I'm totally in.
Yeah.
Just a little nervous about.
I don't know if Anthony told you, but I sent him a suggestion for you guys for the month of January because January, everybody goes through the Christmas blues and missing Christmas and stuff like that. And I said that the Tis the Podcast needs to do a Mary Poppins watch along just to get everybody in a better spirits, because what's not Christmas that would get everybody feeling better? And it'd be Mary Poppins. Yeah.
Mary Poppins. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I am totally in for that.
Yeah. At Disney.
And Plus, he has not shared that.
Oh, he has
information.
Well,
no.
I'll start messaging you and Tom a little bit more then with that stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Got some words.
Well, about that. Disney Plus has that watch along feature now.
We need to try that.
Yeah.
I've been very intrigued by that idea because there's so much good stuff on Disney Plus. And like, we've tried the live watch thing. It's a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. If it was automated for us, like, yes, please.
Yeah. That does get a little tricky to get everybody to start at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, on Zoom, it feels like there's, you know, happening live, but there's a little bit of delay. Just trying to think, because you guys usually do the watch alongs and things and stuff that's not labeled a Christmas movie. And it's like,
yeah,
it seems like Mary Poppins is that movie that's made for mid or late January when you're really missing Christmas the most. And
yes, yeah. Never thought about it. That is accurate.
So you guys have plans to get your decorations up and out?
So we're usually between November 1st and November 6th. And I say that because my youngest's birthday is November 4th.
All right.
So it's kind of just, can we get everything up before his birthday so we don't have boxes everywhere and family coming over? Right. Or should we wait and do it just like right after his birthday? And it depends from year to year, right? Because sometimes things just get dumped on you and you never know. Never know when October starts, really, what everything else is going to look like for the rest of the year. So I'd like to hit it on the early side this year.
Yes.
But with the rate we're going, I don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling it will probably be the first weekend in November that we decorate.
Yeah, that's why we put it on the calendar, because if we don't, we'll hem-hawing around. It'll be late, and then I'll feel anxious not having it up. You know, and then I kind of get a little bit hard to live with once I get anxious about not having the Christmas stuff up.
A little Grinch comes out.
a little bit. You know, I used to always have it up before Halloween, and then I did it one year, and it was a little early for Holly. So I said, I'll wait till the first, And then mm-hmm. I was talking to her about this year and trying to look at days off and stuff like that. And I'm like, I just don't know when. She's like, I'm ready. She's like, I'm ready to get it up.
So oh,
like,
well,
good. Good.
She's been doing some Christmas crafting already, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's been painting some wood slice ornaments and doing some mm-hmm. things like that. I think she's got some working on some signs for some people. She does a lot of painting and crafting.
Yeah.
And she's really good at it. I can't hardly do any of that stuff, but. Or I can, hardly any of it. I can't do any of it at all. But she's really good. She's done craft fairs and stuff, and she's got a little Etsy store. She's got a few things on right now, and you know, mm-hmm. and once she gets a little bit more stuff on there, we'll probably try to hit that a little harder to see if anybody's interested. And in fact, since we're doing that Nutcracker tree, I was wanting the trees. We have this thin hall table, and I was gonna put my nutcrackers on it, have the tree on one side. Then I was wanting one of those bigger nutcrackers to go on the other side. We don't really have room for a tree on that side because then it gets hard to walk around in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And those big nutcrackers are pretty expensive, and I didn't want to spend that money on those, so I'm going to make a wood panel for her and some rounded off wood pieces at the bottom for boots, and she's going to paint a nutcracker on it. So that way we'll have
a good idea.
Yeah. And so we'll have like this 5 foot tall nutcracker, and he'll be flat against the wall, and it'll look great. She's done a smaller version of that before, mm-hmm. and it turned out really great. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Post a picture of that when she's done with it.
Yeah, I will. I definitely will. But in fact, she's upstairs painting stuff right now while we're down here. And she really likes it. So,
I feel like if Holly and I had proximity, uh-huh. we would be fast friends.
I imagine so.
I really enjoy her on social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we just lived anywhere remotely close, we could have like these amazing craft weekends where uh-huh. we would paint and do all of the things and uh-huh. just have the best time ever. And that would be awesome.
Yeah, you definitely would. And her, you know, her mom's into that, all that stuff too. So they're always getting together and sewing stuff and making these, I think they're called junk journals. They're making these
junk journals
where they're taking all these old pages out of books and making little journal pages out of them and
oh my goodness.
Stuff like that. And it's really cool. I don't know where they learn to do it or how they do it, but
it always people are just born like that. I'm convinced they're born with ideas in their heads that all of us are like, why did you ever think of that? That's amazing.
Yeah. That's a fact. Yeah, it's really interesting because when we first start dating stuff, she's like, I'm going to paint this and do that. And it's kind of like, okay, you know, I didn't really know she was, you know, had the ability to do that. And then she did it. And it's like, this is the most fantastic thing in the world. In fact, when we bought our house, we didn't have any money to put tile backsplash up in the kitchen above the cabinets. We mm-hmm. didn't have any money to do that. And she was like, man, I really want tile backsplash up there. And so she's like, I know what to do. So she painted that whole area up above the cabinet in between the upper and lower cabinet. She painted it all white. And she mm-hmm. went to the store and bought pinstriping tape for cars.
And yes.
made squares. And then she took a sponge and like four different shades of brown and sponge painted it and then peeled the tape off. And then the white looked like grout lines. And people to this day still think it's real tile.
Oh my goodness.
It's just painted on there.
I love it.
Yeah. It looks great. It's like, well, I don't think we need to spend money on tile because that looks as good as tile would, you know? So
I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like.
She's a keeper.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely is. So, yeah, she posted that picture of that little store we went to with all the books everywhere. And she's like, mm-hmm. Julia said she wants to go there. And she's like, just tell her if she comes this way, we'll take her there. And I'm like, okay, we'll tell her that.
I do.
Yeah.
I do want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was up in St. Charles, up near St. Louis. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've never been up there.
Yeah.
There are vast swaths of the United States that I've not been to that I really want to, and the St. Louis area is one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should come. There's plenty to do. Yeah, St. Charles it's right on the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a real old Main Street down there. In fact, the first the state capital of Missouri is on that street. So they keep it like real old school Victorian looking.
Yeah.
And we're going to go back this Christmas because they'll have people out there in Victorian dress, and they'll have people doing the chestnuts out there on the main street. And there's all kinds of neat little shops and restaurants and stuff. And it's really cool. It's
magical.
Yeah. It's like it's like a complete, time machine, in there. And yeah. And what's cool is you just go and park and walk. It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing it costs is when you shop or eat, of course, but just to walk up and down the street and see the stuff, it's really, really cool. When we went, they had some Victorian era Halloween characters, like the Headless Horseman and some other people, just kind of there in certain spots. And they had these four ladies were dressed like statues, and they were real still. And then every so often they would break out and that toil,
yes,
bubble song that the witches sing, and it was really neat, really cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Galveston used to do, so I grew up in Houston, and Galveston had a big, it's very Victorian down there as well. And they've kept stuff pretty historical for as long as they've been able to. But at Christmas season, they do Dickens on the Strand, where everybody dresses up in Dickensian characters, and they do Christmas Carol retellings. And it's neat. It's very neat. And I haven't been there in years and years, but I want to go back to that sometime.
Yeah, that would be cool. I've never been to St. Charles for Christmas, but after going a few weeks ago, we're definitely going to go back this year before Christmas, just to, where we live, we can get up there, spend all day, and come home without any problem. So
that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only a couple hour drive, so that's not too bad to knock out. So, but yeah, it's definitely a cool place. And, being the big into Christmas guy, it's I kind of feel like I've let myself down by not getting up there before now, but, I've always heard people talk about it, but then you never really know if it's what they say it is or if it isn't, right. Getting the time to go up there. In fact, a few years ago, we went to the zoo, to St. Louis Zoo for Christmas. And at night, they had it all lit up, Christmas lights everywhere, and big animals made from the Christmas lights, like big swans and giraffes and stuff. And it was really cool. And they had a 4D short showing of the Polar Express. It was only a 15-minute version, but you had to put on the 3D glasses and had the seats that rumbled. And then there was some kind of effect that made like snow was falling from the sky right in front of you. And then when it splashed through the water, a little mist in your face. And
that's cool.
It was pretty, pretty neat. And to walk through the zoo at night and with all the Christmas lights around was pretty nice. So
that sounds really neat. Yeah. That sounds really cool.
It was a good time for sure. And, I'm not sure if they'll be doing that this year or not. It's just everything's in such limbo.
Right.
I saw that Santa Claus isn't going to be at Macy's this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. Our local hometown canceled the Christmas parade, which I'm like, you're letting kids go to school. Why can't you have a Christmas parade?
Yeah.
Come on. It'll be cold enough where we all have.
Yeah.
We'll wear a mask anyway.
So. Yeah, you'll want something over your nose and face just to keep warm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's to the point where certain places aren't making a lot of sense with what they let happen and what they try to frown upon. So hopefully that's the sign that things are going to start becoming more and more back to normal, or as normal as possible can be. And
I hope so.
I do too. Everybody keeps saying after the election, but
I don't know. It's not a silver bullet, right?
I don't know. It's after the election, what's that going to change, you know?
You're just
going to wake up the next day and half the country's going to be mad and half the country's going to be glad, you know, basically.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's all my, that's all the political commentary I'll get in is.
You'll notice on most of our recordings, that's about how I am on the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me.
I used to be really big into the, I was probably real similar to Anthony on Facebook, except more on the other side as far as really being like setting my hair on fire about stuff. And then I got to where it's like, not that I don't want to say I didn't care, but it was like, I just don't think it's worth my time to get all that fired up about it. You know,
right.
At least for me, you know, and a lot, you know, not saying that people that get on there and are passionate about it are wasting their time. But I think for me, I got to the point to where it was like, I was in all these Facebook debates and stuff with people. And I'm like, I'm not changing their mind.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, you know, their mind's made up. And I guess I got to realize that a lot of that stuff's so nuanced and it's hard to have a nuanced conversation through text messages, basically.
Yep.
Because you can't hear tone and inflection and stuff. So I just kind of quit. I was like,
yeah.
And then you get a little older and think, man, maybe I wasn't quite as correct in thinking as I thought I was. You know, so.
Oh, I've had those moments where I think back and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Current Julia is a little embarrassed by past Julia's.
Yeah.
Decision to say some things.
Yeah.
But we learn, we grow, right?
Yeah,
we're
definitely.
Just be better today than we were yesterday. So
yeah. You know, I look back at like Facebook memories, I'm like, ooh, I posted that. You know, it's like dang.
Thanks a lot, Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember looking at Facebook memories and I had a post that, and it was really weird. I can't remember what it was now, but I was like, what the heck was I talking about? It's like, I couldn't even remember like what any of it referred to or anything like that. I'm like, I have no clue what I'm talking about here. You know, but it must have been a big deal or something.
I don't think our lives are intended to be lived where we're constantly reminded of something we did in a one-off moment 8 or 9 years ago. You don't show me this stuff. Like even my brain doesn't track that.
Right.
And that's just rude to remind me of my shortcomings by being younger.
Yeah. They'll always be reminded of that. You know, it is a weird thing, you know, cause we forget for a reason, you know.
Or exactly. Like the old adage of the only reason why you have more than one child is because you forget at a certain point.
Right.
Right. And so that's why there are multiples.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true with other things as well. And we're just not allowed to forget anymore, which is kind of sad. But
yeah.
I still try to forget.
Definitely. It's like if there was a delete on some of that stuff, I'd take it, but there's not. Hopefully nobody would dig too deep on it. But. So what's, we talked about the movies you liked and didn't like. Are there any movies that you haven't covered yet that you are anxious to cover? Or have you kind of covered all your bases?
I've got one coming up in just a few weeks. And I think it's in just a few weeks. Like very, very shortly. Mm-hmm. We're going to be covering Jack Frost with Michael Keaton.
Yes.
And I love that movie. Love it. Gives me all the feels. Spoiler alert for anybody, you know, I'm going to rank that one pretty high because it just, one, it's Michael Keaton and I love Michael Keaton. Yes. And two, it's a good heartwarming, but pulls at the little heartstrings story as well. I've been waiting for that one for quite some time. And then not on our schedule yet, or if it is, it's way in the future, is a movie I loved as a kid and I never realized it had Christmas like it was on the Christmas spectrum, and it's Babes in Toyland with Annette Funicello. Mm-hmm. I loved that movie, and I have a feeling that one is not going to stand the test of time. I'm a little concerned about it. And so that one will get probably some time in the next year because a few people have mentioned it. So two that I'm looking forward to. One I'm very nervous about, the other one not at all.
And I keep hearing that the Bad Santa's coming up soon, and I keep hearing a lot of loathing about that one.
I have never seen it because it's definitely not my jam.
Right.
But I mean, it's got to come up at some point.
I'm surprised you guys made it this far without covering it.
Right? Yeah, I think because none of us are excited about excited about that one.
And it has a sequel as well, which...
Oh, are you serious?
I think it does.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And I don't. And I've never seen either one.
Yeah.
And mainly because I don't know, just never really appealed to me.
Well, why do I want to see? Why do I want to see a bad Santa? Like, killing me Smalls.
Right.
There's just not nobody. I don't want to see that. But somebody recently mentioned, have you done Bad Santa yet? Because I love that movie. And we're like, we're gonna have to move that one up probably.
There is a sequel.
Oh gosh.
Came out in 2016. Made $24 million at the box office on a $26 million budget.
Oh. So, does it have Billy Bob Thornton in it?
Yes.
Oh man.
And Kathy Bates.
It has Kathy Bates in it?
Mm-hmm, the sequel does. I'm not sure about the first one. I haven't seen it. So.
Oh man. I like Kathy Bates, but I don't really like her that much.
Yeah. 24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh. So,
good luck with that one.
Yeah. I'm going to be sick that week. It's going to be rough.
It is. It's going to be really tough.
Are there any movies we haven't covered yet that you want to see us cover?
Yes, and you probably won't like it, but I want to see you guys cover Christmas in Wonderland.
What's that one?
I think it was a Canadian movie, and I think it was Patrick Swayze's last movie.
Oh, I love Patrick
Swayze. It's like he's like a single dad with a couple kids, and they move from like LA to like Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
And the kids go to the mall, and there's some kind of Karma Electra's in it. She's some kind of thief. And the guy from Saturday Night Live.
Chris Kattan.
Yes. He's in it.
I found it.
Yeah. I, for the most part, like it. Now, the special effects are really terrible in it when they use them. But I, for the most part, kind of like it. But I think it's sentimental because I believe it might be Patrick Swayze's last movie.
Yeah.
If it isn't, it's really close. And you could tell he's not, I mean, he doesn't look terrible, but you can tell he's not the Patrick Swayze we grew up on.
Right.
You can tell that he's sick and things. And he's not in it a ton, but enough. And it's basically just kids getting in trouble at the mall kind of movie.
Right. So. I love movies with malls in them because, you know, they're not really a thing as much anymore. And our age, we grew up. We grew up in malls, and malls were a thing. And whenever we – and it's come up before a few times on the podcast, particularly with Tom and I because we're a little bit older, that when you see a mall, you're just kind of like, oh, the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Oh, that feels like childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember our mall used to have a fountain in the middle of it. And it was really cool, and it was like had the seating area around it. And I remember going to the mall to do Christmas shopping. Of course, it was all decked out, and like my mom being like, "Okay, meet me, you know, meet me at the fountain in 1 hour," you know, and, and running around the mall and trying to do my Christmas shopping and, and checking back in at the fountain. And she's like, "Okay, meet me back here in 1 more hour," you know, and,
right?
And, but yeah, a lot of good Christmas memories in the mall. In fact, here a few years back, I went to St. Louis to do some Christmas shopping, and I ended up going by myself because Holly had to work, and there's a few things for the kids we wanted to get. Mm-hmm. And we ended up at the Galleria, which is a real nice mall right in the middle of St. Louis. And it was all decked out, Christmas stuff everywhere, had the music playing and all this. And I was just buzzing so high on the Christmas there. I ended up riding the escalators like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times in a row, just soaking it all, just soaking it all in, you know.
Oh, I love it.
You know, just, you know, probably people thought I was an idiot or something, but I didn't care. I was just soaking it all in, just the whole atmosphere and stuff.
Yeah. But,
yeah. I definitely want you guys to cover Christmas in Wonderland. Like I said, I liked it, but I haven't seen it in a while. It was one of those movies I saw like at a $3 DVD bin in like Walmart. And I saw it was like Patrick Swayze and it was Christmas. I thought, what the heck? And I bought it and I was like, this isn't too bad. I mean, like I said, the special effects are not that great, but yeah.
Okay. We'll have to get that on the schedule then.
Yeah.
To have you on for that one. You can help us. Help us review the movie. You can relive it.
I definitely would. I'd love to, but I can't promise that anybody else would like it. And I'm not even sure if I'd like it 100% anymore. But,
you know. That's the danger, right?
Yeah.
On revisiting those movies. Is it going to hold up? And if it doesn't, how sad am I going to be afterwards?
Right.
It's cruel.
Yeah. But. Well, like I said, I don't even know if this movie really held up from when I first watched it. But like I said, I think it might just been, I think Patrick Swayze had just passed away when I bought it. And so it's like, I want to hold on a little bit of that because, you know, it seemed like he was in like the movie of the year every year there for a while. So,
and versatile too. I mean, Roadhouse to Ghost to Road. I mean, that's a wide swing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I'm not afraid to admit it, but I kind of grew up on Dirty Dancing because my mom loved it so much. It was always on, and she had like the soundtrack in her car on cassette tape, so had all the songs memorized in it. And so it's kind of like I hated it at the time, and then you're around it so much, you learn to love it. And
it grows on you.
And then he was in Red Dawn, and he said Ghost and Roadhouse, and just one of those guys that was always around, big part of the Point Break, you know.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Like that's. Talk about that movie not too long ago. So we was watching Blacklist the other night and one of the characters was like, "Stop, FBI. I'm an FBI agent." And I start saying, "I am an FBI agent." Favorite part of the whole movie.
He was like genuinely a good guy. I too, though. Yeah. You know, when all the tributes came out afterwards, people were like, he really is as good as everybody says that he is. Yeah. Like, he loved his wife and he was just a good person.
Yeah. On Netflix, they have the movies that made us.
Yeah.
And Dirty Dancing is one of those. And apparently him and Jennifer Grey had like some beef because of Red Dawn.
Yeah.
And then they both ended up getting the parts in Dirty Dancing. And he like, you know, and she was like real worried about it and stuff because I guess he was real intense at work and real stickler for being, you know, being a perfectionist. Well, not maybe so much perfectionist, but getting it right and like putting in the time and that kind of thing. And apparently he went to her and was like real cordial and really wanting to make amends and, you know, get all those hurt feelings out and made up for. And so they can make the best movie possible. And was like really the one that facilitated a kind of a mending of the relationship between the two of them and stuff, which was really kind of cool. So
don't hear stories like that very often.
No, not anymore. But and he had a dancing background, but she didn't, and so he kind of had to train her how to dance and stuff, which really helped the movie because they could film the scenes as she was kind of learning the stuff too. So
it
really helped. Helped out quite a bit, but gosh, I haven't seen that movie in 1,000 years either. Well, Julia, I have a few deserted island questions for you.
Okay.
Both these are the same ones I asked Anthony and Tom. And I should have wrote their answers down, but I think I remember them. It won't matter either way. The first question is, you're on a desert or deserted island, and you have the whole IMDb catalog of one actor or one actress. Which one are you taking?
Which specific actor or actress? Oh, the entire catalog.
TV and movies.
Who could I watch unending for the rest of time? Oh, I know who.
Who's that?
Oh.
Alan Rickman. And that's a little strategery because that gets me the Harry Potter movies, but it also gets me some, Jane Austen. Gets me a little Jane Austen there, because then I could have Pride and Prejudice. No, Sense and Sensibility, which I love that movie. And yeah, and then I could get some action as well.
Yeah, because I would have a couple Die Hard. Christmas movies. You have Love Actually and Die Hard.
Love Actually, that's right.
Yeah.
Alan Rickman, final answer.
Alan Rickman came up in our Merry Melees. We were talking, and we were sad to realize he never got to play Ebenezer Scrooge. He would have been.
Oh man, would he have been good?
He would have been a fantastic Scrooge. He might have been the best Scrooge we ever had, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. He might have been. He absolutely. Mm-hmm. I could see that totally happening because everything he does is amazing.
He's one of those guys. He's always
was amazing.
The best person in whatever movie he's in.
Yeah, that's a good question. Now that I've done my episode, I'm promptly going to go back and listen to Anthony and Tom's since I can. Yes. No spoilers. And I'm interested to see what they say.
I think you'll be surprised. Like, they came up with two very different answers, which is really cool. So the second question is just like the first one, but instead of actor, actress, it's director.
Oh, director. Which director would I be perfectly happy watching for the rest of time? Tim Burton is a candidate, but not for the rest of time. That would wear on me after a certain amount. Who directed The Usual Suspects? Bryan Singer, right? I love Bryan Singer and I love The Usual Suspects, but that's also a little problematic because he gave us some real stinker X-Men movies. So that's also problematic. So where does that leave me? I could take the easy route and say Steven Spielberg. Yeah. Because let's face it, I love most of Steven Spielberg's movies. And I can watch them there's so many, you know, and there's such a wide variety. So that's definitely a contender. Chris Columbus is also a contender. Because let's face it, we're on Christmas podcasts, so we love ourselves some Chris. Plus, I would get a little Harry Potter as well.
Yeah. You even get it. I think you even get an episode of The Office, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's done, multiple different TV shows. And then there's Shane Black, who I would say I have developed a massive fondness for in this last year on the podcast because we've covered multiple. I'm going to go Chris Columbus. Excellent.
Yeah.
I like the variety.
You'll definitely get quite a bit there. You'll get Home Alone.
Yeah. I'll get Home Alone. That's right. Who would you pick for those two last questions?
Well,
or are you not allowed to share?
I've been thinking about it. I'm not 100% sold on a director yet.
That's
harder because the directors don't seem to be as consistent as the actors are for some reason, at least in my mind. I would probably end up on Spielberg just because he's got so much that I like, you know, would probably. And for actor, I thought and thought and thought, and it's really more of a strategic thing. I would pick Samuel L. Jackson because then I would have all kinds of movies.
Different variety.
I would have a whole bunch of really, really great movies that are really like art house kind of movies. And then a bunch of like stinker popcorn movies, you know, I could go from Spike Lee do the right thing to Snakes on a Plane, you know?
Yes.
And then I'll have some MCU movies and then,
oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's very strategic.
And plus two, he's like in like 4,000 movies, I think, or something. I don't know how many he's in, but he's.
Right. No, he's, yeah, he's prolific. So
the only thing he lacks is Christmas movies. Yeah.
Christmas movies. Has he been in any Christmas movies? Outright Christmas movies?
Not that I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't think we've covered him yet. You know,
he's in like the Loaded Weapon movies, so that's mm-hmm. like silly slapstick comedy stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I also get some Star Wars with him as well, too. Long Kiss Goodnight is the only Christmas movie he's been in. Yeah.
There you go. I knew there was one out there that was, it's questionable Christmas, though, isn't it? Yeah,
it's a Shane Black screenplay, so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's set at Christmas. So, mm-hmm. but just a teaser for everybody here in a few weeks, I'm having the largest recast miscast of any movie I've done. And I will tell you this, Samuel L. Jackson is in my cast, but that's all I'm going to say.
Ooh, that's a good teaser.
Yeah.
You're recasting. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things that you do.
To
a point where I'll watch stuff now and I'll be like, how could this be recasted?
I really like doing it, but I had to pump the brakes on it because I was going to get through all the Christmas movies like way too fast. You know, and it's like,
right. Yeah. Welcome to the first season of Tis the Podcast. It's like,
nobody really cares if you recast a Hallmark movie or not. It's like, oh,
no. Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm going to put Danica in for... you know, for this part instead of Lacey Chabert, you know, it's like, oh, that just really changes things up, you know.
Their very formula is you can insert any of the actresses at any point and it's totally fine and you might not even notice.
Right. So there's only, you know, and it's like, nobody really cares if you were cast a Christmas movie that, you know, nobody really cares for, or that's not that good, like, Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, it's like, who cares if I recast that, you know? So you can only recast movies that people care for, so.
Right. Yeah, good idea on slowing down. Great idea.
Yeah, and this movie that Samuel L. Jackson's going to be in, it's what most people would consider a top three Christmas movie, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can't wait to do it.
Yeah. It's gonna bother me.
Well, I'm doing it a little different this time too, because normally when I do the recast episodes, it's like me just reading off names, and it's like I just didn't want to do that because I got a lot of characters, because I'm doing basically not everybody that appears on camera, but basically everybody that's got a line in the movie, and.
Okay.
And so I'm having a few people on with me to react live as I read the names. Yeah.
Oh,
so
nice.
Anthony will be joining me for that. And Jerry from Totally Rad Christmas is going to be joining me for that. And and Chris from Christmas Time in the City is going to be joining me. And I haven't even told them the movie yet. They're not going to know anything until they're on there. So.
They're going in totally blind. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, that's going to be so much fun to listen to.
I'm going
to
get total reaction from them. And I didn't want to tell them the movie because I didn't want them to have preconceived ideas of who they think they would have in the movie. So that way maybe it won't give them as much time to think about it.
Just pure reaction. That's brilliant. I'm sure you'll get angry, Anthony, at some point.
He doesn't hardly like any of my recasts, so but that's okay.
So. I think you broke him with Jason Statham as Neil.
Yeah. I didn't explain myself well enough on that one. That was more of a kind of an ironic choice where, you know, Jason Statham would play Neil as close to Neil as he possibly could, you know. And
oh, sure. So
I kind of blame myself for that because I don't think I conveyed that as well as I should have. But the more I explain it to people, the more they're like, yes, that would be hilarious.
That would. And that's how, that's where I fell on it too. At first I was like, what? And then picturing Jason Statham playing it, not as Jason Statham, would be just really something to see.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. I just want to see him with that weenie whistle. I think that would just be the most hilarious thing ever. But, yeah, I got this idea. I had a guy on in February. He wanted to do like some recasting and stuff like that. And talking with him, I'm like, man, that was a good idea. I'm going to totally steal it from him. So,
yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And then I had this Mary Melee idea, which is a total borrowing of a formula that Screen Junkies had for their movie fights. And it seems to be doing pretty well too. And for those that don't know, we have a second Mary Melee coming up. It'll be dropping in December, and Julia has agreed to be one of our judges for that. So I appreciate you. Yeah.
It's a high honor. Excited.
I appreciate you being a part, and I'll announce the roster closer we get. It's set, and we'll have it, but I don't want to give it all away yet. But there'll be a couple other faces in there that you guys know hang out with Julia quite a bit, and I'll just leave it at that, and you guys can figure that out. But it should be a hoot, so to say the least. And That first one was a lot of fun, and we recorded that back in July. It was hard to sit on it for as long as I did. Yeah.
That's a long time.
And I didn't forget who won, but I kind of forgot how it ended, and it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. So I can't do a lot of those because, you know, eventually the questions will run dry, but my plan is to do four if I can. Here pretty close to each other into February or March, have the fourth one. And the fourth one hopefully will be the fighters will be the three winners of these. I plan on getting a trophy to mail off to whoever wins that one as this season's Mary Melee champion. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it. What's the best? So,
and then hopefully do a couple music ones where we do musical questions and stuff like that. So. Yeah,
that would be fun.
Those are a little trickier than the movies. There's so much. Well, I have a format I can borrow off of with movie fights. You know, for different questions and things, and you know, like it's not a spoiler because it's already here, but like the Mary Melee, we had one of the questions was which character from a Christmas movie would survive the longest in the Purge, and. You know, that was a total question they had on movie fights, you know, but it wasn't Christmas movie character. It was, you know, some other caveat to it, but those are the kind of questions we're looking at. There'll be more serious questions on there as far as like serious movie debates, but then we'll get a little silly with it as well. So
I'm super excited.
Me too. I can't wait to see what Jerry's one of the judges, and he's already dropped a bunch of questions for us to pilfer through and things. And I'm hoping to get on there here before too long and add some more that's kind of been rolling around in the back of my mind. So hopefully Anthony can totally redeem himself.
he's got a lot to make up for there. He's going to have to, or Tom's never going to stop.
Oh, ever. My gosh. Yeah, probably the best thing for you is for both of them to lose.
Yeah, I think it will be, actually. That would be the best thing.
But Anthony, yeah, but Anthony and Tom, if you're listening, we're not going into this with any preconceived ideas. So, no.
Nope.
So make better arguments and you will win. So.
That's right.
Well, Julius, tell everybody where they can find you and the Tis the Podcast family.
So you can find us in just your good old fashioned wherever you find your podcast feed. Just look for Tis the Podcast and we're there. Our new episodes drop Monday mornings weekly. And that is year round. So we really do keep the spirit of Christmas alive 365 days a year. If you want extra content that may or may not be Christmas, you can find us on Patreon too. So for a minimum of $1 a month, it gets you into the vault of all of our extra Christmassy. No, not always. All of our extra Christmassy and non-Christmassy stuff. So check us out. And then if you just want to chat with us on social medias, you can do that too. All you have to do is go to tisthepodcast.com/Twitter. Instagram, Facebook group, or Reddit, and it'll take you right to any of our social medias, which you can not just talk to us, you can talk to Todd, you can talk to Jerry Davila, you can talk to just amazing people who we are lucky to have talk with us on social medias too. So it's a really fun community. I would encourage it to anybody, especially getting into the months, you know, the high season for those of us that love Christmas so much. So yep. You can find us there.
I will have all those links in the show notes and on the website. And I want to encourage each and everybody, if you can, go to the Facebook group and join it. It's a great place to be. Lots of Christmas movie information there. Lots of other podcasts post their stuff there that you can maybe find a new podcast on. And not all of it's Christmas all the time. If there's some great movies coming out and stuff, it's all up for discussion. So don't think it's just a, mm-hmm. specifically for Christmas movies. Yes, that's the focus, but anything's really game to talk about. And so head on over there. There's lots of people always on there.
Yeah. I can't keep up with it. I tend to log in and be like, look at everything I missed. Yeah. One day.
It's like, you don't want to be that person like commenting on something 6 days later, you know? So.
I know. Welcome to my life, though. That's me.
I understand. It's like, I'll see something and I've commented before on stuff. And then as I'm getting ready to hit send, I see how old it is. I'm like, no, I think they're done with that one now. I think they're already past it. So, but Julie, I really appreciate you joining me here on Christmas Clatter and taking time to have this Christmas conversation. And as we get on to the week, we got Halloween at the end of the week coming up, and just want to wish you and yours a happy mm-hmm. Halloween. And I'm sure we'll be talking a few more times before Christmas anyway. So.
Oh, I expect it. Thanks so much for having me, Todd. It is always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Christmas Clatter. Please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at Christmas Clatter Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Clatter Podcast. Send us an email at ChristmasClatterPodcast@gmail.com. Visit our website at ChristmasClatterPodcast.com. And as always, remember to keep Christmas hope alive every day.
Thank you for listening to the Christmas Podcast Network.
Christmas Clatter is proud to partner with one of our favorite companies, Shady Rays, over at ShadyRays.com. Shady Rays has been the only sunglasses I've used for years now. A lot of you guys know I carry mail for a living, so through the rain, snow, the wind, sleet, sun, you name it, I've carried through it, and even through vacations in the Rockies and on the beach. I've always had my Shady Rays with me. I'm very particular about my sunglasses and love my Shady Rays. They fit great, they're durable, and they're reasonably priced. On top of that, they have a great lifetime warranty that you really need to check out, and it is as good as they say it is. But more importantly, if you buy a pair of sunglasses, that also buys 20 meals for the hungry through Feeding America, which I just love it when companies are have a conscience and have a charitable aspect to them. And you, as a Christmas Clatter listener, go over to ShadyRays.com, use promo code XmasClatter and checkout to receive 25% off.
and pick up a great pair of sunglasses for you or a gift for someone you love. ShadyRays.com, promo code XmasClatter for 25% off. Shady Rays, now the official sunglasses of Christmas.